All right, on the Reformation Day, it's like they want to stack all the best texts all together, right? This is a great, beautiful text from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when all the people will know me. From the less least to the greatest, all will know me, because I will write my law on their hearts. I will be their God, they will be my people. And I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Those are words of liberation, are they not? Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel. If we could just forget the sins of ourselves and of one another, would that just be an incredibly liberating event? Oh, forget about all of the stuff that bears us down, that bogs us down. Well, unfortunately, we're living in an era where, I think bog is the right word. Bogs kind of have a lot of mud in them, don't they? All right. So, we're living in a time, during an election time, when there's dirt everywhere. People are digging up dirt, or they are making up dirt against their enemies, right? They're flinging mud. That's that great political thing about mudslinging, right? Making them look bad. All of this stuff. It's happening all over the place. It's dirt everywhere. As far as you can see and as loud as you can hear it, there it is. And so what's the way to get out of that? What's the way to be free of that? Well, interestingly, more dirt. If Jesus is right. Because what does he say? He says, if you abide in my word, you will be my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you know what the definition of a disciple is in the rabbinic tradition of which Jesus is a part? To walk in the dust of the rabbi. To walk as closely to your teacher, so in this case, that we can walk as closely to Jesus as possible, so that the dirt that he picks up off of his sandals while he's walking falls on us. Think about that as a way of discipleship, huh? So that you get so close, it's actually a lovely thing to think about. It's probably like almost cartoonish that there's Jesus and his disciples are like, they're right behind him, but they're really, really close as they can get, right? That's discipleship. So that they can hear every word that the teacher says. So they can see everything that the teacher does. So that what happens to the teacher happens to us, his disciples. So here's Jesus, and he's saying, be my disciple. Get into my dirt. There's this great the Orthodox understanding of baptism. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, he made all water holy. So that now that we're baptized, we are baptized in the holy water of Jesus. And I think it might be the same thing with dirt. Jesus is walking and kicking up this dirt, right? And we're getting it. And it's holy dirt. It's holy dust that falls into us, that we breathe in, that we walk in. And what are the symbols of this holy dirt? What are the symbols of Jesus and how he is living in his life? His fidelity. And this is a thing about the Reformation that we have to really keep in mind. Because we often think about the Reformation as this as the reawakening of Paul's idea, and it is, that we don't do things. It's not by our good works that we are justified, but it's by our faith in Jesus. We believe in Jesus, therefore we are justified. That's not the Reformation insight. That's like 19th, 20th century American Christianity. That we whip up enough faith in Jesus that God accepts that. But it isn't that. It's trusting in the fidelity of Jesus. We are justified by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It is actually even the faith of Jesus Christ, the fidelity of Jesus Christ. He's walking in the dust of the Holy One, Jesus is. And in that way, he is faithful. And he is faithful. The symbols of his fidelity are things like, instead of throwing the dirt around, right? It's turn the other cheek. A symbol of fidelity. Give to anyone who asks. A symbol of fidelity. Someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. A symbol of fidelity. And in that fidelity lies freedom. Jesus, yeah, before I say that, we think of discipline. Again, we Americans, and we don't like it. Right? We don't want to be disciplined. And we think of freedom as being able to do whatever we want to do. Now, can I get an amen about that? Yeah, right? Freedom means what we want to do. Jesus is having none of that. That is nonsense. In the ancient world, that's just not. It's actually nonsense anywhere. But in the ancient world, it's also nonsense. No. What Jesus is calling us to, the freedom that Jesus is calling us to, is the freedom to live so close to Jesus and so close to God, the Holy One, the author and giver of life, that we don't have to worry about living in a way that is different than the world. Jesus was free to live a life of fidelity to God, and it didn't matter what was going to happen. Do you think Jesus really wanted to go to the cross? All you got to do is go to the Garden of Gethsemane to answer that question. The answer is absolutely not. Father, remove this cup from me. He didn't want to go to the cross. I don't even think God sent him to the cross. Here's what I think. I think Jesus was able to live in such a way that whether he went to the cross or not didn't matter. He was going to be faithful anyway. He didn't want to go to the cross. He knew he was going to go to the cross. But his fidelity to God liberated him to live a life of giving himself away. Giving himself away. And he did it all through his life. And even in his death, he gave himself away. And calls us to be disciples. To get so close to him that even that dust falls on us. This giving ourselves away. It is a stunning liberation. How many of us are so worried about what other people think about us, or so worried that we might offend somebody, or so worried about this or that, that we will just swallow our own strong-held beliefs? There's one. Oh, good. Right? Or that we will avoid people we think are going against those strong-held beliefs, living in a different way than us. Why? Why? I think it's because we haven't really received, I'll put it a different way. When Jeremiah says that God will write his law in our hearts. Write God's law in our hearts. That scroll in our hearts. I think it happens a little bit at a time. Right? In every encounter, in every interaction, there's this sense that, oh, the law of God is being written in my heart. The law of love. The law of love is being written there. So when I get a phone call from someone, as just happens this morning, and someone is asking me to do something that I told them five times I'm not doing. Not going to do this. I'm going to talk about the law of love, but I'm not going to do this. Last week I told you I love when Jesus makes it so easy. This week I'm saying I hate it when Jesus makes it so easy. Right? Yeah. The law of love. Okay. I did. I felt this like freedom. I can do this. In fact, I get to do this. What am I thinking? And I can feel a little scrolling in my heart. Here, remember this. Know this. It's me. Love God. So, the Reformation for me today, it feels like here's what we're about. Yes, we are justified by the faithfulness of Jesus. Yes, we are invited into that faithfulness, to walk in it, to breathe it, to hold it, to watch, and to wait, and to pray. And to be for the world signs of something different. The body of Christ, which isn't about gaining in and gathering in and holding on and hoarding to what we know and love and will not give away, and instead turning away and saying, here, we're yours. We are giving ourselves to you in love as a model, as a way of liberation, as a way of fidelity, give ourselves away. So, your homework this week is this. In what ways this week are you being called to simply give yourself over to someone else? You already did your homework, did you? Okay, there you go. All right. Yeah. In what way are you being called to do it? And in what ways are you resisting? And then ask God, write your law of love on my heart. And then do what you will. May we constantly be reformed into fidelity, into the faithful body of Christ, and joyfully give ourselves away.